Why do we suffer? Why do people have all these horrible diseases? Why do we see pictures on television asking us for money to support various organizations who help with these little children whose bodies are missing limbs and in very bad shape, can't even walk, can't do anything? And over the course of the history of man, man has said there is no God because he wouldn't do something like that. Well, that's right, he wouldn't. We did it. We had a big problem. And that problem happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed the one rule that God gave. Do you realize that some people would say, you know what, God's a legalist. He gave them a rule to follow. We can't do that. He's a legalist. Well, if you think that's bad, what about all the commandments he gave to the children of Israel? Want to talk about legalism? Boy, God is the biggest legalist there ever was. Baloney. No. Sin is the problem. Suffering is because of sin. End of story on that, almost. We're going to look at that this morning. A God of suffering as we consider Genesis and creation. I want to give you four quotes, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll jump into this. This goes along with what we've been talking about already. Adolf Hitler said, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future." And he went on to kill 11 million plus people. Joseph Stalin said, "Education is a weapon, the effect of which is determined by the hands that wield it." Here's the result of what he said and the truth of it. In one generation, Joseph Stalin turned hordes of deeply religious Russian people into followers of atheistic Marxism. One generation. We're living, ladies and gentlemen, in that generation. If we don't get it back now, we never will, without divine help. It is serious, serious that we pray and talk and write letters now. We got to learn from history. When it came time to kill people, there was no one left to speak up for the Jews and the Christians and the handicapped. Ted Turner lost a sister with a terrible disease. This is what he said. "If God is a God of love, why would he allow this to happen?" Charles Darwin saw the suffering in the world and he said, "There can't be a loving God." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we have the eternal Word of God. I trust this morning that most of us here this morning believe it. Father, may we today as believers rise to the occasion to which has been presented us. It is time to not be quiet. It is time to talk. It is time to study. It is time to know our Bible. It is time to know about creation. That we may give an answer to every man that asketh us the reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message this morning. May it be exactly what we need to hear right now. We ask that we would leave this place this morning energized and ready to speak for you and to help others who are suffering and ask that three-letter question, why? trust by your power and your might this morning that we will be able to answer that question, that we may understand suffering better, be able to help those that are suffering right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation is in Genesis. That's where it all started. That's where everything started. You can trace it all back to the book of Genesis. Genesis is where we first learn about Bible doctrine. Genesis is where we learn about why Adam and Eve had to start wearing clothing. Genesis is where we learn about death and suffering. It still blows my mind that the first son killed the second son. How does that happen? It's called sin. When you're out there in your garden or your flower beds, and up at the parsonage we have some of these thistles plants. Nasty. Every time I see one of those, I think of the sin in the Garden of Eden, and God said, you're going to have thistles. And there they are. You see, when God talks, you better listen. What he says is true. I'm going to do some more Bible drill this morning. If you want to do that sword drill and follow along with all these verses that we're going to turn to, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. We have to remember how God started this thing. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created a perfect world. I wonder, have you ever thought about living in a perfect world? You know, one of our reformers tried to create that. John Calvin. Couldn't think of his name there real quick. John Calvin, he tried to make that happen, and he found out, you know what, it doesn't work. There's this problem, it's called, we're sinners. And even if you could start your Christian city and put a wall around it and keep all the unbelievers out, you know what's going to happen? Sin. And we're going to have problems. It might start really nice the first day and the second day, but after about the third day, sin's going to start piling up, and we're going to have problems. But God started this thing perfect. Now look, in right same place, Genesis 1, 29 and 30. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Well, what did we eat when we were in this perfect world? Man and beast. We all were vegans. That might not be the right word. We were all plant eaters. Even the T-Rex with those big teeth. I'd like to go back to that. I got to thinking about that. You know, when we get to heaven, I wonder if there's going to be, I guess there's no more meat. There will be no more death. We don't kill the cows and the chickens anymore. Thank God there's going to be a dessert table. Blueberry pie. Oh my. And better things than that are going to be there, I know. But we have a little foretaste of what it's going to be like. In paradise, there is no death. No human is going to die. We're going to be in our glorified bodies. No death. No death of animals. No. No death. So we go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. I sort of ran into this already. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Only one rule. One rule. And they couldn't do that. Very sad. I guess if we were all there, we'd have done the same thing. They could not keep one rule. That's all they had. You know why they couldn't keep that rule? Because we are people and we don't like authority. The student in the class, I don't like what that teacher's telling me. I like those rules. And sometimes we sit right here, we say, I don't like what that preacher's telling me right now, the Word of God. I don't like that. Don't get mad at me, get mad at God. This is His authority. I'm just preaching it. That's our problem. Now we'll run to the New Testament for a little bit, to Romans. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to have to go faster because I want to get some things in here. Romans 6, 23a. You probably know this already. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, not the result of evolutionary processes over millions and billions of years. Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and we have been dying ever since. Our sin broke the world. Now, it's not wrong sometimes for us to ask the why question. We're intuitive people. We like to know why about a lot of things. The unbeliever says, I don't need Jesus, I'm a good person. And what throws people off in the world is rocks. Go to the Grand Canyon, there's rocks there. Layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of rocks. And that's what throws man, isn't that ridiculous? They think that those rocks are millions of years old. Rocks that were laid down by very slow processes. But then we think about the fossils. Fossils are from dead things. Dead people, dead animals, dead plants, rapidly buried. So the Grand Canyon was either created by millions of years or it was created by a universal flood that the Bible talks about, and that is the answer. So without death, evolution does not progress. Evolution has to have lots of dying. If millions of years is true, there's death, death, and more death. Death has always been here. And we know that is wrong because the Bible says God created a perfect world without sin. So, man gets mad at God when bad things happen. And you and you and me, we do it too, even though we're bought by the precious blood of Christ. We get mad at God, don't we? Bad things happen, and that devil comes with a first thought. The first thought he puts in your mind is, this is all God's fault. You know what? I had a thought like that this very week. But you know what? They don't last long with me. It's like, you idiot. This isn't God's fault. Darwin said, if Christianity is true, then my father, my brother, and my friends will be eternally punished. I can't accept that. Too bad for you. It's the way it is. Darwin never thought about sin. Humanism is what's being taught in our schools and in our world today and has been for a long time. In other words, man determines truth for himself. And if you go to Judges 21:25, that's exactly what Israel did. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There's a real disconnect in the world. How does the world decide what is right and what is wrong? They decide for themselves. They determine for themselves what is right and what is wrong. And in our society today, what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right and perverted. So there is this huge disconnect. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For those that like want the rest of these scriptures, I'm going to go fast here. Isaiah 64:6, Ezekiel 33:11, Luke 18, verses 18 and 19. Now, this is the thinking of man, and sometimes we think this way too. Okay? We want that person to be punished for their sin. But I want leniency for me. They ought to get nailed. Oh, not me. You ever think like that? Yeah, you did. You do. I do. Okay? We want that person to be punished, but we want special treatment for ourselves. So, why do specific bad things happen? Well, whether you're saved or lost, you're going to get sick. And whether you're saved or lost, you're going to die. We're all in this boat, and we're all going to suffer. They think in the world that that's all there is. We get sick, we die, done. Nothing ever happens after that. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verses 1 to 5. This is a neat little discussion, and Jesus has the answer. Luke 13, 1 to 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Sometimes bad things happen. We are all touched. Whenever I work with wood and was building chicken houses and pig barns and real houses for people, I would occasionally hit my thumb with the hammer. I didn't like that. That hurts. Bad. Why does that happen? Well, because my aim was bad. That's why that happened. Now, we need to remember some things about suffering. God is eternal, and He sees from beginning to end. and you and I don't. He sees it from the beginning to the end. We're stuck in the middle somewhere, and we get mad because we don't know the plan. And we say, why? And we blame God. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, them that love God, them that who are called according to his purpose. God has a reason for all the so-called misery in this world. We cannot possibly see from God's perspective. And here's a good statement on for the Lord. God does not owe us an explanation. He does not owe us an explanation for the wise. Now here are some more points about the wise. What happens to us in trials if we follow the Lord? We're going to get stronger. There's strength that comes out of the trial if you'll go to the source of your need, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Without trials, why would anybody seek the Lord? A lot of people come to salvation because of the suffering and trial that happened in their life. And they finally, it clicked in their mind that they can't control this thing and they need God. At times we will suffer because we are righteous people. Job, case one, and the only one you need. Now, sometimes when we suffer, maybe God does want us to know why. And he wants us to know, he might want to know something himself. He might want to know this from us. Do you love me anyway? Do you love the Lord anyway? In spite of that trial, that whatever that was, hand in the corn picker, accident, God took my oldest child. Do you still love God anyhow? Do you still love the Lord? Here's another thing we need to be thinking about when it comes to suffering. How we react to the bad things that come into our lives. How we react to those bad things is what the UPS man and the clerk and the waitress and the neighbor and the unsaved family members and friends need to see from us. How do you react? How you react to your suffering is going to tell people how much you love God or if you're just a phony. Because they're watching you, and they're watching me. You're watching me, and I'm watching you. We're good at watching, aren't we? We're good, good. Those folks out there need to see us react properly. It's scary to think, what if God gave us what we deserve? There was a little post that I saw on Facebook and I passed it on, shared it. What did it say? It's a good thing that we don't get our wages for sin immediately. Something to that effect. What if we got our spanking from God right now? I mouth off to the boss and God slams me right now. That wouldn't be nice, would it? But you know what? I'll bet we learn fast. Now we think about that, and we think about if God would give us what we deserve right now. You know what? We know our own hearts, and we know what goes on in our own hearts. We know what goes on in our own hearts. And I don't need to think about what goes on in your heart because I know what goes on in this heart, and it's not a whole lot different than what goes on in your heart. We're all the same. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Bring us to a rapid conclusion here. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see, God created a perfect world, and we broke it, and He's going to fix it, and we're going to get a perfect world back again. So as we go through the suffering that God subscribes to us, prescribes to us, we deserve, or it's just because that's the way it is, we need to remember that He created a perfect world and our sin broke it. And He's going to fix it. It's easy to blame God. But you know what He does for every man, woman, and child? He postpones judgment. He's long-suffering. I've heard hundreds of people say the rapture needs to happen now. We need to get this over. God, come get us out of here. God is long-suffering. What we need to do is go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. While we are going through this pilgrim pathway and while we are here and God is long-suffering and while we suffer and others suffer, this is what we need to be about. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be all about apologetics. We need to know our Bible so we can defend our Bible. So that you can help people to understand suffering. So that you can help people to know that they need to be saved and have your salvation verses right there and ready. Because at any given instance, God will call that verse that you have memorized to your remembrance and you'll be able to help that person to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This game is not over. And so while we are here, we must run hard across the finish line. The finish line is when you breathe your last breath and your heart beats its last beat and they have a service for you. That's when you're done, not before. We must run hard. Now, if you all were watching the Olympics at all and watched any of those wonderful track races, I didn't see anybody giving up. I didn't see them giving up. I mean, some of those people, when they rounded that last corner, they picked up the pace. They did not slow. They did not go into retirement. They gave it all they had left. Whatever they had left, they gave it all. And our girls swept the girls' hurdles. And if I remember right, one or two of them came from behind in the last 20 yards. They finished strong. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Savior, you need to commit in your heart and your life. You will finish strong. You will not quit. You will not give up. You will not throw in the towel. You will keep learning. You will keep growing. You will keep asking God to give you boldness. That's the only thing that will save this country. God's people mobilize behind Captain Jesus, things will get right. Things will turn around. Will you be a part of that today? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for Genesis, the beginning. You know how to make perfection, and you did it. May we, as your children here this morning, always rely on you and not on ourselves. Help us to be trusting and depending in you and not in our own flesh. We need your help today. We ask for it. We ask that you would help us to be a part of seeing great things happen for the cause of Christ as we pray hard, as we work hard, as we serve, as we seek your will for our life. Lord, help us to do that collectively. May we be pure, holy, and unified as a body of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.